All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Welcome in to Daily Faceoff Live, your go-to source for everything hockey. Live every weekday at noon Eastern.
Round two edition of Daily Faceoff Live. Welcome into the show live on the Daily Faceoff YouTube. And we are thrilled to welcome in Bet365 as our sports betting partner for the 2024 playoffs. And we'll be here with Bet365 to give you all the news, analysis, lines, and betting options for the playoffs until just one of these eight teams are left standing. Just one, Frank. Only one will exist at the end. How are you doing, Frank? Ready to hit the road again tonight?
I am on my way to Vancouver this afternoon. Looking forward to being at Oilers Canucks, the all-Canadian matchup. First time since 2022. Battle of Alberta. That one ended in five games, surprisingly. I wouldn't be that shocked if this one ended in five.
Yeah, that is a good point. We're going to have a full preview of that series coming up in a little bit with our friend Jeff Patterson from Rinkwide Vancouver. Excited to be on the road as well, Frank. Maybe a beer at Greta Vancouver on our off day. Only the off day. We are responsible working men.
I have not had a sip of alcohol in 3 weeks. Not right. Really by design. Just I was sick for a while and then, I don't know, I just haven't had the urge.
I'm sure the fans would be saying that's not the playoff spirit, Frank. But anyways, I digress. Let's get into what we got coming up on the show today, Frank, starting with what's going to happen tonight before any puck drops in the NHL. It's draft lottery time, 6:30 Eastern. We will find out who will grab the first overall pick and who will have the right to select seemingly consensus number one overall pick, Macklin Celebrini. Remember, you can head to Daily Faceoff and check out all the odds, or you're watching right now, you can see him on your screen. San Jose leads the way with a 25.5% chance of picking first overall, followed by the Hawks, Ducks, and Blue Jackets. Columbus comes in at 9.5. These are all the teams with 5% or better in terms of their chance of grabbing the first overall pick. Frank, let me ask you, Celebrini and his potential landing spot would be the most impactful and franchise changing for who on this list?
The team right at the very top, the San Jose Sharks, they are the team that's most lost. They are the team that would also have a great story attached to Macklin Celebrini. His dad, Rick, works just down the road as the VP of performance for the Golden State Warriors in the NBA. He's someone that, you know, would make a huge impact in the Bay Area, not just with his story, but all of a sudden you can kind of maybe begin to see the pieces to come together for the San Jose Sharks, a team that's just been lost. But you have Celebrini, Will Smith. I mean, everyone else, not to say it's an embarrassment of riches, but if you look at, I don't know, the Blackhawks, and if you could go Bedard, Celebrini down the middle for the next 15 years, or what about all the young talent that they've assembled in Anaheim? I mean, has to be tantalizing to think about the possibilities if you're Pat Verbeek today. You're waking up full of hope and energy.
Yeah, I think a lot of these GMs are waking up dreaming today. If we go to the next kind of rung down, Gavin, and see a few of the long shots as well that have an outside chance of picking first overall. I love that our boys out in Calgary, Boomer, Pinder, they're doing a barn burner live watch along for the lottery tonight and that 5% chance of moving to first overall. But honestly, for any of these teams, I look at Seattle, a team who'd love to ignite a little bit more offense into that organization. I think Calgary's kind of the same as they look to rejuvenate this retool. Even for those teams to move up to second would be such a massive jump. And I know there's a bit of a mush after first overall in this draft, but for those teams, the chance to leap up that far would be significant.
It's incredible how beauty is in the eye of the beholder for this draft. I mean, guys that were kind of pegged in the two hole a few months back, some people could see them going down as far as outside the top 10. That's how much this draft board has turned over and changed over. The under 18 world's just wrapped. There's lots of interesting choices, and it's almost like not just beauty's in the eye of the beholder, but it's also what are your positional needs? Who do you think the best player is? A lot of people view that differently outside of Macklin Celebrini. And I just wanted to get to the big question of, what would you be getting in Macklin Celebrini? Who's the closest player comp? I mean, I talked to his coach at Boston University, Jay Pandolfo, who played not just 900 games in the NHL, but was on an NHL bench as an assistant coach for 5 years. His comp may surprise you. Do you see flashes? Like, give me a comp comparison-wise, and I don't mean production-wise, but just pure style in terms of how he plays. If you're a fan listening to this and you're trying to conjure up an image of what Macklin Celebrini might look like when he's a finished product in the NHL, who comes to mind for you?
Yeah, it's high praise, but you know, I think personally when I watch him and what I've seen, I think Crosby, I think Jonathan Toews, those are the two guys for me that I see, you know, the best comparisons with Macklin.
That's high praise, Frank.
Yeah, you almost feel greasy asking the question, but in terms of physical maturation, I mentioned his dad, VP of performance for the Golden State Warriors. That dude is coming into the NHL prepared. He invites and incites physical contact at the college level. And his game is so detail-oriented that as a 17-year-old, he was the guy late in games, not just winning the Hobie, but taking massive face-offs out there in trust-earning situations for Jay Pandolfo. This is a special, special player that you could inject right at the top of your lineup for, you know, not just the your tenure as GM, but maybe a couple beyond that.
Yeah. We have a poll up in our YouTube about where you'd most like to see Macklin Celebrini end up. So drop a vote in there. We'll give you the results out in garbage time. But let's zero in on some playoff talk here, Frank. Last night, game one between the Boston Bruins and the Florida Panthers, and it was the Bees wrestling back home ice advantage from the Cats. Frank, there was a lot of debate. I was clearly on the wrong side of this debate about who the Boston Bruins would start. Smart move going with Jeremy Swayman, stops 37-38.
Yeah, and I was the guy saying, this is supposed to be a rotation. We're seven games in and Swayman's played six and Ullmark has played one. The guy's unconscious. 955 save percentage, as you can see here in the seven starts that he's made. There's zero reason to go against Jeremy Swayman at this point, even if you think he wants a rest. I joined Morning Cup of Hockey today, and Colby Cohen framed it best. He said the only way you're going to see Linus Ullmark is if the Florida Panthers get a large lead in one game, and they're like, hey, we'll give him the rest of the game off just to get some rest and recuperate for the next one. But the way the schedule sets up, I don't think it's incredibly unmanageable. And What an impressive showing for the Bruins in a quick turnaround. You have an emotional game seven that goes to OT, by the way. I know it didn't last incredibly long, but still, that Saturday night, you travel Sunday right back into the thick of it against a bigger, better opponent in round two in the Florida Panthers. You sort of wade your way into the first two periods. You're trailing, and then you score five unanswered. And it's not just five unanswered. It's five goals from mostly an unheralded crew. You know, you get Brageau, you get Mason Lowry, you get Brandon Carlo, guys that aren't really big scorers. That's a night that everyone can feel good about. And it's kind of a punch in the face wake-up call for the Florida Panthers to start their second round series.
Can we talk about the 48 to 72 hours for Brandon Carlo? You take to the ice for an emotional game seven against the Leafs going, my wife is pretty pregnant. I might become a dad soon. You win that game seven. Your wife does go into labor. You do become a proud papa. And then you start game two by finding the back of the net. Not bad.
And the craziest part about that is his wife had the baby in Colorado. So he went from Boston to Colorado, back down to Florida, and did it all in a span of 36 hours.
Yeah.
And the best part was he was explaining, like, they were like, dude, we were trying everything to get that baby out on time, like turning her over on her side, doing this, that. And it was like, just come on, hurry up already. I've got a game to play. And he strolls into the arena at 6 o'clock. And all of a sudden, he's putting one in the back of the net for the Boston Bruins. Pretty amazing dad strength.
Yeah. I thought, again, David Pastrnak, although he didn't find the back of the net, he stood out to me again in that game. And it was interesting after Jim Montgomery, you know, kind of said he had to be better after game six against the Leafs. He goes out game seven, pops the OT winner, team high four shots on goal for Pastrnak in the victory as well. And the Bruins all of a sudden are up 1-0 in that series. Frank, yesterday away from the playoff action, we got news on the coaching front, and there's actually been a little bit more news earlier this morning as well. But let's start with the fact that the Ottawa Senators have found their man in Travis Green. And I guess he ends up getting reportedly a 4-year deal, by the way. He's had an interesting career. He took over a Vancouver team a few years ago that was looking to get back on track. And now he's looking to do the same thing here in Ottawa. But the most surprising part of this for me is Travis Green didn't wait until the Devils made their decision, Frank.
Well, I think he got a sense that he wasn't going to be the guy. So why sit around and wait? I mean, when the team says to you, hey, we enjoyed working with you since we fired Lindy Ruff in March, the results were just kind of middling and it was great. And we'd like to consider you, but we're going to start interviewing other people. It's kind of like, it's not you, it's me, that kind of thing. And then it's like, well, I want to start to see other people. I mean, you kind of are like, I don't really like how that sounds or feels. So maybe I should just move on. That's sort of the situation with Travis Green. We reported last week that he interviewed with the Sens. They had a really long list of candidates. I think Craig Berube was someone that they took really seriously. That didn't end up working out. And now Travis Green moves on. And I'd like to see what he does with this Sens team. I think the structure and things that he put in place in Vancouver, I really liked it. And I thought it was impressive for a really imperfect roster. I don't think Jim Benning really gave him the support and pieces that he needed. So now to take this Sens team that's also very much imperfect still, and I'm interested to see what Steve Staios does in his first summer as GM, but he's got an opportunity here to really make a mark on a market that is hungry for a taste of the playoffs. And so that's going to be fascinating to see.
And the Senators obviously believing in this hire, as you would imagine they would, but they give him some term with the deal as well. So Travis Green lands in Ottawa. He is one of the coaches off the board, Frank, not the only one as of late. This morning, the St. Louis Blues taking the interim tag off of Drew Bannister. So Gavin, you can go ahead and flash up that board with the jobs that are still open around the league. And I mean, maybe in real time, we'll just take a Sharpie and X out the St. Louis Blues there, Frank. But what do you make of Bannister being the guy in St. Louis?
This list is also not complete. There's still other teams that could be looking at, in addition to what happens in Toronto. So as I see it right now, six openings. And New Jersey, look, the Bannister one is interesting to me. He seemed to really have attention to detail in St. Louis. The fact that he only gets a 2-year deal, though, it almost kind of felt like, Doug Armstrong likes him, but isn't necessarily totally convinced. And so then you look at New Jersey, and there's been lots of connection and talk over the last, 24 to 48 hours since the Leafs lost. It's, hey, is Craig Berube going to be the next coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs? I'm not sold that he makes it to that point. I think he's, been certainly in touch with New Jersey. I think he's high on their list. And I wouldn't be shocked to see that come to fruition before the Leafs even make their formal official decision.
Yeah, the Toronto one looms large, obviously, with Shanahan, Tree Living still yet to meet with the media for their end of year press conference. But the Sens go green. Bannister stays in St. Louis. As for the rest, we continue to sit around and wait for the coaching carousel. Quickly, before we get to Jeff Patterson and the All 32, a look ahead to what's going down tonight, Frank, in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And it is, also game two between the Rangers and the Hurricanes at MSG, but game one between the Avs and the Stars. And when you look at the way those two first round series kind of went between these two, I mean, the numbers stand out. Colorado scored a ton. Dallas won a lot of low-scoring hockey games. Which team's going to be able to dictate how this series goes? And is Dallas going to be comfortable maybe getting into a bit of a shootout here? Or do they have no interest in that?
I think that would be a mistake. I think with the firepower that the Avs have and how quickly they move the puck and use their speed, I think almost every team in the league is going to be a disadvantage if that's the way Colorado is going to dictate the pace. That said, I think Dallas has shown its ability to weather the storm. I think they've put themselves in a position where they're comfortable playing just about any way. They have guys that can move the puck that are mobile on their back end. They've got, I think, more depth than the Colorado Avalanche. And when you try and size up the series, yes, the Avs might have the best overall player in Nathan MacKinnon. They have the best defenseman in Cale Makar. But then when you look at the whole forward group, and this says a lot for a team that I think, has, someone like a Yakov Trenin way down their lineup and may get Jonathan Drouin back at some point midway through this series. When I look at it, I say Dallas has the edge on depth, and they've got this wherewithal that they showed in round one that they're able to stand up to the test. And that part to me really stood out. So watching the Stars go into this second round, I don't see any holes, and I give the patience that they showed and also the way that they can, try and button things up a little bit to their advantage. So it's going to be a battle of style, a battle of will. But I think this Stars team is uniquely capable of handling it. I think the margin here is incredibly thin. I think it's 51-49 one way or the other. Wouldn't be surprised at all to see it go to game seven. Wouldn't be surprised at all to see either team win, but I've got the Stars in seven.
I took the Avs in seven on our official daily face-off predictions. Part of it was because I felt like I was very chalky with my other three series predictions. And I was like, man, there's got to be an upset at some point here. And not that Colorado would be all that big of an upset, but they are the lower seed nonetheless. Let's move along, Frank, and get to our big segment for the day. And welcome in Jeff Patterson for the All 32.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
The All 32 is brought to you by Booster Juice. Visit a location today to refuel, refresh, and re-energize, or download their new Booster Rewards app to earn, order, and enjoy. Frank's going to be back out in Vancouver. He's itching to get his hands on another delicious Booster Juice. And speaking of Vancouver, that is where Jeff Patterson joins us from. Jeff, appreciate your time here today. And actually, before we get into Canucks Oilers, can I just quickly ask you what you make of the Travis Green hiring out in Ottawa?
Yeah, I think like anybody, I'm curious to see a coach get a second go around. Now, I know he was second official job, the interim coach in Jersey, but this will be running his own show starting from scratch. Look, Travis and I butted heads more than a few times. I got hauled into the coach's office out here in Vancouver on occasion, but I've got a ton of respect for Travis. Look at the job he did with young Brock Besser, Elias Pettersson, and Quinn Hughes getting their feet wet in the National Hockey League. You know, he allowed those guys to flourish. He empowered them. He recognized the skill and the talent that they brought. Obviously, Ottawa's got a ton of good young talent as well. So I think there are some similarities in where the Canucks were when Travis took over and the competitive arc there and where the Senators are. But you touched on it, Frank. His hands were tied in terms of the roster that he was presented with. I think towards the end, a little stubborn and set in his ways, penalty killing did the Canucks in. And, you know, he just refused to change, kept running the same guys out that weren't getting the job done. So I am curious to see what he learned from his experiences here and in New Jersey and how he applies those and becomes a better coach, because I think most of the times guys are better coaches second time around.
Let's dig into the All-Canadian second round matchup. It's Oilers, it's Canucks, and there's been obviously a lot of talk about how good this Oilers power play has been, how much they've been able to score in round one. But on the Canucks side, what are the key battlegrounds? What are the areas where if they execute, they'll have an advantage?
Well, structure has been a buzzword since Rick Tocchet took over, and the Canucks showed a lot of it. I mean, they gave up 12 goals in six games against the Nashville Predators, but we've all seen Connor McDavid has been shredding structure since he first stepped on NHL ice. So it's a little different. You can talk about your structure and believe in your structure, and in one shift, McDavid can just zip right through the middle of it and do things single-handedly. So the Canucks recognize that. You can try to game plan for Connor McDavid. Obviously, this is a deeper Oiler team than just McDavid and Draisaitl, but I do think the Canucks believe in the way that they play, the system that they play, and the way that they defended in front of three different goaltenders. And so, you know, goaltending is going to be a huge storyline at both ends of the ice here. Is Artur Silov's the Cinderella story? Is the clock about to strike midnight? So far so good for him. And this is a guy that just doesn't look like the moment is too big. He's going to get the start in game one, and we'll see where it goes from there. I do think the discipline is a huge storyline, and the Canucks talked about it yesterday after practice. They recognize that if they run into penalty problems, you're essentially giving the Oilers goals, and the Canucks can't afford to do that. Although their penalty kill, and Frank saw it, he was there on that series, Canucks penalty kill, to me, was the unsung hero of their first round win over the Predators. They killed off 20 of 22, and in a series that was razor tight, it still seems to me a little bit mind-boggling that the power plays were 22-13 in favor of the Predators, including 7-2 over the final two games. So I think the Canucks want to draw a few more power plays of their own and try and spend time on the power play, which wasn't great against the Predators, but man, their penalty kill was lights out good, led by 35-year-old Ian Cole, who logged 6 minutes of shorthanded ice time more than anybody else on this hockey club. And that's one of the reasons they went out and got a guy that had the Stanley Cup pedigree and a relationship with Jim Rutherford and Patrick Helvin and Rick Tocchet from their time in Pittsburgh. And I thought that the veteran kind of faded a little down the stretch, but boy, he showed his playoff chops in round number one against the Preds.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Cole, because to me, the biggest stylistic change that I think we saw in round one from the Canucks compared to the regular season, and I don't know if it's, you know, due to, is there something going on with Quinn Hughes, but it was very clear that what Rick Tocchet wanted to deploy was a healthy dose of size on the back end. It was a lot of Nikita Zadorov, a lot of Carson Soucy and Ian Cole and Tyler Myers. Is that, do you think part of their game plan by design is if they're going to try and wear us down, like, is that just a Predators thing because of their forecheck, or is that something that you would anticipate seeing in round two against Edmonton as well?
Well, I am curious about the matchups. Canucks worked hard to win the division and get home ice, so they're going to have the benefit of the last change. And I'm going to be interested to see if Tocchet uses that more than he did in round one, because it kind of felt like, even though Rick Tocchet and Andrew Brunette are both up as finalists for Coach of the Year, they kind of just allowed the series to flow. There really wasn't a huge chess match between the coaches obviously, if you're the Canucks, you have to figure out what matchup you want and how you get it against both McDavid and Dreisaitl. And it's not just the forward groups. I think this can change on opening night, but I think JT Miller will likely get McDavid, and they'll keep Lindholm and Dakota Joshua for his size up against Dreisaitl if the Oilers split those two. Of course, they can throw them out there as a nuclear option together, but I think for the Canucks, it's more about defending and who do they get out there, and do you try to get Quinn Hughes on the ice against McDavid and defend by spending time up ice and in the offensive zone, or do you use the size and the length of guys like Soucy and Myers? The problem there is Tyler Myers has been prone to a lot of penalties over his career, and certainly the speed of McDavid can cause problems for just about anybody. So, I'm curious to see how much more of a chess match we see between the coaches and the way that Rick Tocchet goes about utilizing home ice advantage, not just a game seven if they get there, but obviously the first couple of games on home ice to try to dictate those matchups. But for me, I think discipline is just, again, the numbers don't lie. The Oilers' power play was that good against the LA Kings, who were the second best penalty killing team in the National Hockey League in the regular season. So it wasn't by fluke that the Oilers power play did what it did. I mean, they went up against one of the best teams in that area of the game and absolutely mauled them. So the Canucks know that they're going to have to play hard, but that fine line of playing hard but not crossing it and taking penalties and giving the Oilers the power play opportunities that they thrive on.
A lot of people outside Vancouver, in the market in Vancouver, have been watching Elias Pettersson's play through these playoffs with a bit of a raised eyebrow. What's going on there? Is there a health issue? Or is this just a guy who is the moment too big for him? Like, which one of those sort of easy to grab headlines are you latching onto with Pettersson?
Yeah, it's baffling. It really is. And we had Trevor Linden on a show out here yesterday. And, you know, here's the former captain of the Canucks, the president of the Vancouver Canucks, who brought Elias Pettersson into the lineup, into the organization through the draft. And, you know, to hear Trevor say, look, this guy just has to get in the fight. You know, pretty stinging indictment from a guy who's been there and been to a game seven of the Stanley Cup final. But it is. It's just baffling to see a player that put up 102 points a year ago, backed it up with an 89-point season, and it kind of felt like he just ran into a wall at the All-Star break and hasn't been that same player since. One goal in his last 19 games, and look, he's not blessed with the most gifted line mates right now. Ilya Mikheyev with his one goal in 55 games, and Nils Höglander at 24 in the regular season, but really was a non-factor in that opening round. So, you know, the hope here is that you get a second round and you hit reset and you somehow find your game. But boy, it feels like a reach right now. And I kind of side with Trevor Linden that it starts with just digging in a little bit more. And look, he made a nice play on what led to the only goal of game six, the series clincher for the Canucks. He jumps Jeremy Lauzon, a nice read, and gets to the puck in the corner, keeps that play alive and gets an assist. But the fact that you can sort of point to one play over a six-game series and say, hey, you know, he made an impact there, they just need a whole lot more. So whether it's 5-on-5, whether it's on the power play, I don't care where it is. He knows it, they know it, and it sort of is the elephant in the room, but the elephant keeps growing by the day here as we close in on start time for game number one of this series against the Oilers. They need him. They absolutely need him to be a whole lot better than he's been really over the last couple of months.
It is going to be a spicy one between the Oilers and Canucks. Jeff Patterson, you can find his work at Rinkwide Vancouver, Canucks Army, and on Sakaris and Price. Appreciate the time, man.
All right, looking forward to it, guys.
Moving along to our Daily Faceoff inbox question. It's brought to you by our friends at Douglas Mattresses. Right now, when you order at douglas.ca/DFO, every order comes with a free comfort sleep bundle. That's two memory foam pillows with pillow protectors, one luxurious cotton sheet set, and one mattress protector free with every order. They're handcrafted in Canada, which ensures the fastest delivery to you. Order today at douglas.ca/DFO. Frank, we got our Hart Trophy finalists today in the NHL. And my question to you, was anyone snubbed or were these the three that you wanted to see in MacKinnon, Kucherov, and McDavid?
Wanted to see, huh? That is a loaded question.
Yeah, I guess that's tough because you vote. So maybe not a totally fair question to throw your way either.
I'm actually just, I know this sounds funny to say, but I have to just double check who I voted for. These were not the three that I had on my ballot. My three finalists based on my ballot alone would have been in alphabetical order, Kucherov, MacKinnon, Panarin.
All right.
So I just thought Panarin was the unquestioned MVP of the top team in the regular season this year. And reminder, this is a regular season award. Austin Matthews and the 69 goals. I've seen the belly aching from fans. To me, it wasn't like, did he get to 70? And it's not like it's a magic trick that you score one more goal and all of a sudden it's like, hey, you have to absolutely be a finalist for the Hart Trophy. I don't think that's how it works. Fantastic year. Certainly lacking in the assists or points department compared to everyone else. And I think there was certainly a case to be made for McDavid, but I didn't have him in my top three.
Interesting. Be interesting to see how the final votes come out for the Hart Trophy at the NHL Awards later on in the summer. Frank, let's get to our daily bets for the day, brought to you by Bet365, where you can sign up and use the promo code DAILY365 to get in on a huge range of markets. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. I got a couple, but none of them have anything to do with tonight, Frank. I'm starting with a series bet in the Oilers Canucks, and it's betting on Zach Hyman to finish with more goals than Connor McDavid, and you're getting this at almost even money. It's mind-blowing. Hyman scored 7 times in the opening round. McDavid had just 1, and I like betting against Connor McDavid scoring goals so much that I'm doubling down, and I'm doing the same thing with Leon Draisaitl to outscore Connor McDavid at the exact same price. Draisaitl scored 5 times in the first round. McDavid only had the 1. Both of them outscored McDavid in the regular season as well. Frank, am I crazy for thinking Connor McDavid is going to get not outproduced points-wise, but outscored goal-wise by these two?
A little bit. I mean, here's the thing. I know that it's been a tough year for him goal-scoring-wise, and I know that he only had 1 in the first round, but it would also be totally like Connor McDavid to score 8 times in this round, and no one would really think anything. I'm not betting against the best player in the world on anything.
I may not
pick him, but I'm not betting against him. That's like betting the under. Life's too short.
I am, that's fair. I'm betting on McDavid to just continue being an assist guy for the Oilers. I got one more play for the second round. The Panthers lost game 1. I think this is a good spot to get it on their series price. It's dropped all the way down to -115. The Panthers to win this series from behind. Frank, do you like it?
I do. I had the Panthers winning this series in 5. Wouldn't shock me at all if they had the old gentleman sweep, win 4 in a row after this. Not saying it'll happen. I think the Bruins have shown us a lot. It's just, I think they're a significantly better team than Boston.
Yeah. Let's wrap up the show with a little bit of garbage time, Frank, and it's brought to you by Wendy's. It takes hard work and determination to finish the job in spring in the NHL. Luckily, all you need to do to bring home some Wendy's is the rewards app. Just download the Wendy's app, place your order, and you'll be well on the road to victory. And by victory, we mean free food, obviously. What are you waiting for? Download the Wendy's app today. Frank, garbage time. We threw up a poll over in the YouTube, and I love this. The results tie in perfectly to what we want to do for garbage time. The Sharks, 35%, Hawks, 17%, Ducks, 11%, and the other option comes in as our winner at 37%. So let me ask you, what is your favorite chaos option for the draft lottery tonight?
Well, it's chaos on a million fronts, but the Chicago Blackhawks, because everyone's like, oh, they got fed Connor Bedard last year. Can you imagine? I mentioned off the top of the show, if you have Bedard and Celebrini down the middle for the next 15 years, that's ridiculous. And then throw in the comp that Jay Pandolfo had of Sidney Crosby and Jonathan Toews. I mean, that's an electric combination. Not only that, but they would become the first team since the new rule was instituted that you can only win the draft lottery twice in any period of 5 years. So it would also eliminate their incentive to be bad, at which point they could ramp up how quickly they build this team back up again. And I think they're maybe, if they were somehow able to win the draft lottery, I think you're talking playoffs in 2026.
JC, Hawks in the lottery, like Stone in the LTIR. Great joke. My pick for a chaos, Frank, is if you want to get the conspiracy theory people going, Utah wins this. Yeah. Utah wins this and people go bananas about it.
Fun fact, the Arizona Coyotes have never won the draft lottery. Bill Armstrong, when I was in Utah, their GM said, I think we're due. So that would be something as well.
While you're over on Daily Faceoff checking out the latest odds for the draft lottery, go take part in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge as well. It's your chance to win gift cards and potentially a jersey for your favorite team. Just make picks on the night's game and you're in on potentially winning some prizes. That is a wrap on today's edition of the show. Frank, you would have killed me if I brought it up, but you did get a lot of happy birthday messages from our YouTube chat.
Oh, thank you. Love to see that and appreciate it. One more trip around the sun. Glad to do it with you Monday to Friday on Daily Faceoff Live.
Frank and Colby with you tomorrow at noon Eastern, and then it's Frank and myself in person from Vancouver for the rest of the week. Looking forward to that. Hope you enjoy the hockey tonight, everybody. See you back here tomorrow noon Eastern on Daily Faceoff Live.
Thanks for tuning in to Daily Faceoff Live. Make sure you hit the subscribe button to never miss an episode.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
All right, hockey fans, listen up because we've got something special coming your way this playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and let me tell you, it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game day, you're going to be faced with four questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle. And here's a sneak peek into some of those questions we'll be firing your way. First up, you got to pick the winning team. That sounds simple, right? But there's more. You got to decide if the total amount of goals in the game will be over or under a certain amount, and that's where the real strategy starts to kick in. Next up, you're picking who's going to find the back of the net first, and you're going to want to be careful because that's one that could be cooked early on in the game. And finally, you got to predict which period is going to be the highest scoring. Will it be a barn burner in the first, a shootout in the second, or a nail biter in the third? That's up to you to decide. Now let's talk about prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? For the daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards to treat yourself to some fresh nation gear, and you might even win a jersey from your favorite team. And for the big dogs, those who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.